The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impact of ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Audio of this and each episode of Bengal Business can be found at kisu.org.
Hello, this is Shane Hunt, Dean of the College of Business at Idaho State University, inviting you to listen to the Bengal Business Radio Show. On this episode, I visit with technology executive Tamla Gates May about her journey from Idaho State University to IBM, as well as Dr. Bob Houghton, professor of informatics, about cybersecurity and some of the challenges that companies across industries are facing today. Hello, everyone. My name is Shane Hunt, and I'm the Dean of the College of Business here at Idaho State University, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to this episode of the Bengal Business Radio Show. I'm really excited today to be joined by our guest and technology executive, Tamla Gates May. Tamla, welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here with you and with the extended ISU family.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, Tamla. And Tamla is a very proud alum of the Idaho State University College of Business. And Tamla, just let's start out and just kind of talk about your journey. You've had an amazing journey, but just kind of starting from your time at ISU and then talking about your career.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I came to ISU from California. I was self-funding my college experience and wanted to experience a state other than California, and also needed to obtain a strong education, but at a good value. And also being actually 17-year-old at the time, wanted a community that also had some fun, skiing, et cetera. So I was very thrilled to find Idaho State University and to get my education there. And it has served me very, very well.
So Tamla, talk a little bit about your career. So you were sitting there where our students right now in class. What was kind of your path after you left Idaho State University?
I left Idaho State University with $80 to my name, literally $80. So I guess in today's math, I don't know, probably be about $400 or something. And that's all I had to my name. And I headed east to Boston to, full honesty, connect with another Idaho State alum, a rock jock, yep, a geology master's student, and chased him to Massachusetts with, again, $80 to my name and everything I owned in my car.
Wow.
And ended up in Boston and started applying for jobs. Back then, you waited for the Sunday newspaper to come. And when the Sunday newspaper want ads came, you saw what jobs had opened. There was no such thing as Indeed.com and all of that. So I ended up using my degree from Idaho State University and my experience at the local Thrifty Nickel selling classified ads at the Thrifty Nickel to help me get into a publishing company called Connors Publishing. It's now owned by Reed Excelsior, and they are a huge publishing company that publishes everything from Variety magazine to every kind of niche publication you can think of. I got a position with them selling classified ads in the back of a magazine for a magazine called Business Computer Systems.
Okay.
So that was quite interesting. And then I parlayed that into moving up through that organization. And it was kind of fun to be in Boston working for a publishing company. It sounded so sophisticated, but the reality was I was barely making it, had to waitress at night in an Irish restaurant to pay all the bills, student loans, etc.
Right.
But I was having a blast and doing what young people should do by just dipping the toe into the water, working hard, and building a career from there. That's how I started. Then I parlayed that into going to work for a software manufacturer who sold through a catalog and wanted someone who understood the publishing business and layouts and all that kind of stuff. And I was able to then go work for software publishing companies, advising them on how to really generate net new business for
right,
themselves, by reaching out to the base of customers that the various publications offered. So that's what I did, and was able to, again, stay in a very niche cybersecurity industry for the good portion of my career. And, you know, I was very privileged to work for the top cybersecurity companies on the planet. And again, was able to use my degree from Idaho State in many facets throughout the career.
I think that's, Tamla, that's amazing, and you had such an amazing journey. One thing that struck me when you talked about that, and something we talk with our students here, is how sales is an entry into a lot of different industries. And I think that's a fascinating part of your story. Anything that you can share on that, or just, I think that's something so many times I've talked to really successful alums from any of the majors, and sales was kind of a path into those large companies and those great opportunities. Anything you can share on that?
Absolutely. First of all, whether you believe it or not, every single one of us is in sales.
Absolutely.
Just being a human being, you're in sales. You're selling yourself and your ideas, whatever that might be, whether you're an artist selling your art, whether you're a pizza maker selling the fact that your pizza is better than the guy across town, whatever it is, we are all selling ourselves all day long. Anybody that has children that can tell you that children are great salespeople.
They may be the best, Pamela. Absolutely.
Absolutely. They want that extra cookie. They got to sell you on why they deserve it, right? So anyways, we're all in sales. And for a lot of folks that don't have a specific degree, for example, you're not majoring in chemical engineering or you're not a CPA, that's going to be your entry point into the business world. And you may think, well, gee, I don't think I like sales. I don't want to be on the phone. I don't want to meet with people and have to sell and hit a quota and all of that. But that's, you know, it really helps you to get to know yourself really, really well. And what you may like about it, what you may not like about it. But if you can be successful in sales, because again, you're selling yourself, take the product out of it. You're really selling yourself, your ideas, and your trustworthiness to a customer, to your organization, et cetera. You're also selling your work ethic to your company. And through follow through and how quickly you get back to customers, work ethic, you're exemplifying your work ethic to them too. So it's a great entry point. Please don't be afraid of it. It's a great place to start and to then navigate through your career from there.
No, and Tamla, I will tell you, in all the episodes that we've done of this show, I don't know that there's ever been a statement that I've agreed with more than what you just said. I was nodding my head. I look like a bobblehead over here because I think that's so true. And that's one of the reasons why we have launched our new professional sales certificate here at Idaho State, which is a certificate program that can fit into just about any major on campus, not just in business. And so that is launching in 2021 and something that we're really excited about. I wanted to ask you this, Tamla. You've obviously had a lot of experience as an executive, and you know, you've hired, you know, well over 100 people in your career from all types of colleges and universities all across the country. And I think one thing that would be really insightful for maybe our current students or for other hiring managers is which ones of those were most successful in their positions? Were there traits or certain things that you kind of saw consistently were making people more successful that you hired?
Well, first of all, I want to reassure Idaho State students that once your foot is in that door, nobody cares whether you went to Idaho State University, Harvard, MIT, University of Colorado. All they care about is that you are delivering to them, that you're adding innovative value. So it doesn't really matter. Don't let anybody tell you that Idaho State University isn't enough. It absolutely is. You are getting the same education in your business degree at Idaho State as you are getting at all the aforementioned universities and colleges. And they have the same accrediting body.
Yep, we do.
Most universities. So that accrediting body doesn't really adjust its standards down or up, depending who you are. There's basically a template of what you need to meet as a college of business. And if you meet that, you're accredited. If you're not, if you don't, then you're not. So do not wear your Idaho State College of Business degree very, very proudly, no matter what discipline it's in. Go in to whatever role with confidence and make sure that you're adding innovative value. And what I mean by that is, as a young person, you go in and obviously, you know, you have to be all ears, but you have your own ideas and value to add as well. So don't be shy about suggesting innovative new methods and meetings, et cetera. That's why the company hired you. They didn't hire you to just sit and you know, push a pencil all day or you know, obvious, that's an old statement. You could tell I'm old saying that, but obviously to be on your computer all day and add no value. They won't know who you are. If you want to stick out, make sure that you are, if you see an area that you think you can improve, feel free to mention it. Notice I said you can improve it, because if you suggest something, they might ask you to lead it and to own it, and that's okay. That's great. It was your idea. So don't be afraid of championing new innovative value throughout a company. And I can tell you, and being at some of the largest cybersecurity companies and largest companies on the planet, that most executives will tell you that their best hires are not from the most elite universities. The most recent company I was at was IBM, which one of the biggest companies on the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
Over 100 years old. All of that. I was talking to the head of cybersecurity at IBM one day, and he was saying that, you know, he was doing a lot of hiring. And I said, you know, I'm curious as to which students you feel come here as a new employee and end up being the most successful. And he found that the engineers, not from MIT, that was probably less than 2 miles from IBM's headquarters for cybersecurity in Cambridge, Massachusetts, not from MIT 2 miles down the road, but from University of Massachusetts Lowell campus, which is kind of considered one of the not so nice campuses for University of Massachusetts. Those engineering students from there absolutely were his top candidates for coming to work at IBM. So they paid, I don't know, probably 20%, 25% of the amount of tuition that somebody at MIT would. But here they were adding the most value. They were hungry. They were willing to work. They were willing to add value and knew that they had to add value, maybe because they felt they were reaching up, had to be, you know, somehow more elite. But that was not the case. Very well respected for what they brought, no matter, you know, where they went to college. And again, I want to underline that to Idaho State University students, to be proud of your degree, walk in with confidence, and know that you are just as good, if not better, than students from any other university.
Well, Tamla, I think that's so true, and I think that's a great point. And, you know, I want our listeners to know the great support that Tamla has given us to support our students in scholarships and mentoring. And we're so thankful, Tamla, for you and the way you represent the Idaho State University College of Business. I'll have one final question. My final question would be, so there are a lot of students sitting right now in our classes, in our marketing classes, in our informatics classes, in management and whatever, that want to follow the same kind of exciting, dynamic career path that you have had. Do you have any kind of final thoughts or advice for our students as they get ready to begin their career kind of in the middle of the pandemic and then post-pandemic?
I absolutely do. And that would be just to be fearless, to not be afraid of the opportunities that present themselves to you. Because if you're good, and I have confidence that Idaho State University students naturally will be, but if you're good, if you're confident about who you are and about the value that you can add, if you're willing to tackle any problems, change that word to opportunities, take on a problem at work. Nobody wants this particular account because it's a mess. Okay, take it, because there's only one way to go and that's up. Take the difficult assignments, take the tasks that nobody else wants, because that's your moment to shine. That's your opportunity. They aren't problems. They're really opportunities where you can shine above the rest. And I guess that's what I would say is be willing to tackle anything. Don't be afraid of anything. Be confident in who you are and the degree you have, and you will learn along the way. You don't walk in knowing much about the company you're going into or what the actual role is, but be willing to tackle it and take on any tasks. Work hard, work harder than the next person, and you will be promoted. You will move up, you will learn more, and that's really what we all look for.
Oh, Tamla, thank you so much for sharing that with our students. I will tell you that just personally, that's what I say to my son and daughter is work hard and be fearless and do those things with the great education you're going to get here at Idaho State. There are great things ahead. Tamla, thank you so much for everything you do for the Idaho State University College of Business. Hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and we can't wait to visit again soon. Thank you, Tamla.
Awesome. Go Bengals.
Go Bengals. We'll be right back with Dr. Bob Houghton, Associate Dean and Professor of Informatics.
The College of Arts and Letters is thrilled to announce the 2020 New Year's Eve Virtual Gala livestream on New Year's Eve at 8 or 10 p.m. enjoy a special presentation of art, music, theatre, and dance from ISU students and faculty, with all proceeds going directly towards scholarships for students in the College of Arts and Letters. Visit isu.edu/CALGALA to purchase tickets and find out additional information about how to join the virtual celebration.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Bingle Business Radio Show. I'm thrilled to welcome our next guest, my friend and colleague, Dr. Bob Houghton. Dr. Houghton serves as Associate Dean of the College of Business, as well as a Professor of Informatics. Bob, thank you for joining the show today.
Thanks for having me on, Shane. This is fantastic.
Oh, Bob, it's great to visit. And for those of you that come visit us on campus, Bob and I, our offices are right by each other. So I have the great fortune to get to work with Bob daily and see the amazing things he does for students. Bob, tell us a little bit about your background, because I think some of your background is maybe different than what someone might expect from a business professor.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So my background actually, my career towards business has come a long way. But my undergraduate degree from Utah State in music. I was a music composer as an undergrad student. I wrote some fantastic pieces. I scored a bunch of pieces for choir. And in fact, I've had those performed by various choirs around the Intermountain West, believe it or not. Most of them were ones that I was singing in, though, so I guess that kind of doesn't count. But I also wrote a couple of halftime shows for the Utah State Marching Band that they performed, including an arrangement of Super Mario Brothers, the theme to that for marching band. That was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing that. But I also learned very early on in my career, because I was always involved in computation, in computers in some sort. In fact, my father brought home a used computer. It was an Apple II Plus. He brought it home to my house when I was 3 years old, and I just was playing with that computer ever since then, and I've always done computation. In fact, that's how I put myself through school. I was working various mom and pop computer jobs. I probably built over 1,000 computers
Wow.
by hand in my lifetime. And so I was, what's funny is, so I'm about to graduate with my music degree, which I worked very hard on. And it was, in fact, my doctorate took less time than my bachelor's degree. Being a music major is a lot of one credit classes that Yep. you don't get enough credit for. And so with that, I put myself through college doing computer jobs, and I found myself making more money as a computer technician than I was going to as a professional musician in the either arranging for some of the larger music publishing groups or trying to make it as a music educator, those kind of things. And I had a family, I had a child, my wife and I had our first kid at this point. And so I made a shift, and I then decided to go into computation. So I majored in management information systems and became a network security engineer. And I loved doing that. In fact, that was, other than being a professor, where I get to actually help students on a daily basis, which is arguably the best job in the world.
Best job in the world. Recommend, absolutely.
I can't recommend it highly enough. But the second best job in the whole world is being a network security administrator. I got to write letters to Homeland Security and the FBI and the CIA. In fact, I got interviewed by the CIA once. I was working at Utah State as a network security administrator, and I get a call from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security saying, they started out the conversation by this, and they said, "Do you have a level 3 biocontainment facility on your campus?" And I said, "I don't know. What is a level 3 biocontainment facility?" And so I did some research, and that's kind of where you store poisonous plants and things that can, you know, toxins and things that are actually really bad and nasty, including some lower levels of anthrax and, you know, the things Wow. that you had heard about on the news. And so I called them back and said, "Why, yes, we do have a level 3 biocontainment facility on campus." And they said, "Have you seen any recent activity against the IP addresses there, especially from China?" And I said, "I don't know, I'll have to go check." So I searched our logs, and sure enough, they had. And long story short, at this point, I love the little background there, is that there was an attack to try to breach the physical security of the doors to get into those facilities. And they had sent some people to try to get in at the time that they were attacking, and they later got arrested. And
Wow.
it was kind of interesting. And so that's kind of one of my favorite stories about hacking and how it's actually a coordinated attempt, seeing how we kind of throw around the term hacking nowadays. When, you know, you hack your body by doing a juice purge, or you hack this computer by, you know, I hacked your Twitter account and now I'm posting things erroneously. Well, this was the honest to goodness trying to break into
Right.
a security system and trying to do something nefarious. The really, that they kind of the 80s definition of hacking. And it was nice to help and protect in that way. That's where my research has been network security. And I've been focused on that for the last decade and a bit now. And I've came here to Idaho State as a systems administrator / professor when I first got here in the College of Business, and worked hard and eventually have worked my way. And now I get to work with you on a daily basis, and I love it. It's fantastic. For those of you who haven't come in yet, you really ought to come visit us here in the College of Business.
Absolutely.
We've got all the Diet Dr. Pepper you can drink between the two of us. And
supply.
That's right. And we just have a good time down in the dean's office.
We absolutely do, Bob. And I think that's so fascinating, that your background and your path towards getting a PhD. Obviously, in today's world, informatics and security and management information systems are at the forefront of just about any business of any size. Can you talk a little bit about some of the issues? I know that you work with a number of outside companies, financial institutions, just some of the stuff that you're seeing and some of the things that are really relevant to those executives you visit with.
Absolutely. Whenever we talk about network security and those kind of things, they always talk about, oh, my computer has a virus. We throw around the term computer virus, kind of like the term hacking, but very erroneously nowadays. In fact, when we were first exploring the idea of what is security, back in the 1970s and up until probably the 90s, it was always more of an external threat. And nowadays, with the internet and those kind of things, we have both internal and external threats that are both as viable. But as far as, my computer got hacked, oh, I've got a virus, that doesn't happen as much anymore nowadays. Nowadays, the attacks aren't about the computer itself, it's about you. The attacks are focused on using the computer to get to you personally. Whether it's your credit card, whether it's your identity, whether it's your bank accounts, that's what they're focusing on. In fact, the latest round of attacks from a software perspective are ransomware. And I'm sure that term's been thrown around and some of our listeners probably know what it is. But for those of you that don't, it's when a computer piece of software, it comes in and somehow you've invited it to come for various reasons. You've opened an email attachment or you clicked a link you might not have should have. Those kind of things, you get a piece of software and it doesn't do anything for a while, but eventually all of a sudden a few days go by and you get a warning on your computer that says all of your data has been encrypted and emailed to some other place. If you don't pay us some amount of money, usually $200 to $300 for an individual, $5,000 to $6,000 for a smaller business and up, your data will stay encrypted and it's gone forever. And honestly, it is gone forever. The way that modern encryption works, it's virtually unbreakable as far as from traditional brute force methodology, especially when we're talking about, I'm going to throw out some technical terms, 256-bit RSA encryption is just unbreakable in your lifetime. So therefore, your data is gone. It's not. But the weird thing is you can see it. You know it's there on your computer. You go and you explore your files, see what's there, but you just can't access it. So you end up paying the money and getting it back. And it has nothing to do with destroying your computer like the old viruses did, the I love you virus or the Melissa virus or the Michelangelo virus. Those are three famous ones from the 90s. They would go through and try to break your computer and try to make it unusable. Well, they found that that doesn't make you money. What makes you money is giving you money. And it's easier for people just give you the money freely of their own free will rather than trying to hack their credit card and they can reverse the charges and those kind of things. The bad guys out there are always one step ahead of the good guys. And so you have to be vigilant. The motto of modern security, modern network security, is constant vigilance.
Right.
Because if you're not actively participating in the security process, you're going to get hacked. There's a famous little cliche. There's two types of people in the world. Those that have been hacked and those that don't know that they've yet already been hacked. So that is the world we live in, unfortunately.
And Bob, let me ask this question too. I got this from a listener on a previous episode. We were talking with a professor in a different part of the college. And they said, what kinds of classes go into that area, right? And so one of the things I just want to ask briefly is, so if a student comes to ISU and they major in informatics, what does that look like, Bob? What kinds of classes are they taking?
Well, in informatics specifically, it's the study of data. And so when we say data, we mean all of the, it's not just the ones and zeros that are on your computer, because a lot of that is extraneous. Your operating system can be recovered, your applications, you can just re-download those. No, when we're talking about data, it's the things that you compose, to bring back my music degree a little bit. It's the things that you create. Those things cannot be recovered. Those things are, they have to be backed up. There's a lot of management. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about data. So in informatics, you study data. The first thing is how you make data. The second thing is how you store data, how you move data, and then finally, what do you do with that data? And with that, you're going to learn a lot about how to program in an informatics degree. And it goes through, any good computational school will teach you how to program. Programming and the language of computing is vital to understanding how they work. So we're going to teach you, you know, sequence selection, iteration, design, the four major topics of programming. You're going to have multiple languages under your belt. We have multiple classes in it. And then from there, we're going to talk about the user experience with systems analysis and design. And what that means is, what does the user expect their program to do? Because ultimately, we want the user to use the program to actually create that data. So you're going to learn about how the computer can talk to the people. Because ultimately, if people aren't using the system, we're not able to properly do whatever it is we're trying to do. If you think about Facebook, Facebook is probably the quintessential example of this. They've got all of their users using that interface that generate data, and not just generating data by clicking the like button or typing on their wall, but just the actual scrolling effects generates data and those kind of things. So we generate data, we compose data. Then how do we store that data? We teach you about databases. And arguably, when we're talking network security, really, we are talking about the idea of database security, because ultimately, everything is stored in some sort of database somewhere. So what is a database? How do they work? How do they manipulate? We teach you the fundamentals of administration of a database and how to properly use them to talk to programs, because you can have a front end and a back end system. And then from there, we teach you how to move data. Well, that's basically, there's no greater tool for moving data than the World Wide Web or yep. the internet. The internet is just so ubiquitous nowadays, it's everywhere. We have, your phone is on the internet 24/7, your computer's on the internet 24/7, heck, your TV's on the internet, your video game's on your internet, and if you go to Lowe's and you want to spend $30, you can buy a light bulb that's on the internet. And those light bulbs, you can go in, and we literally are living in Star Trek. You go in, you say, hey, Alexa, turn on the lights, and guess what? The computer, the magic box, or Alexa as we call her, turns on the lights for you. Hey, Alexa, set my temperature to 32 degrees. It's now freezing in your house. I don't know why it set it to 32, but whatever.
No, I
but
think.
That's how it is. And that's again, the moving of data. And then finally, we teach you bits of data analytics and data analysis. What do you do with it all? So data analytics really is the kind of the putting it all together. And you have to understand what it is you're looking for, because we're generating more data now than we've ever generated in human history. That little Absolutely. Cell phone in your pocket is one of the greatest tools that is, I know that they're fantastic and everyone talks about them, but they're still underrepresentative and underappreciated for how much that they influence our lives to this day. They're generating your location for you to know and for other people to analyze. Right now, they're trying to do the COVID-19 tracking. Right. They've got that working in 18 states to try to help with contact tracing, to figure out how to best fight the virus. All of that is just because you choose to carry a cell phone in your pocket. And that's, I think, one of the greatest technological advances we've ever had, arguably comparable to the printing press and what it were able to do. The problems that we're solving because we understand how data works is fantastic. No. I have a little anecdote about that. There's a basketball team, the Golden State Warriors. I'm sure you've never heard of them.
Pretty good.
I'm kidding.
Pretty good team.
pretty good team.
Yeah.
Well, they had found that they had an above average shooter in a guy named Steph Curry. And by above average, I mean like once in a generational talent. And their previous coach, Mark Johnson, was doing a very traditional basketball offense. You know, you go for the gimme baskets, you know, high percentage shots. Well, they did a whole bunch of analysis, because they actually make their players wear trackers throughout the whole game. And they have these overhead cameras at the NBA arenas just to help them with this data analytics. And they found that, hey, if we were to adjust our game flow so that Steph Curry could shoot 3 points more often, it's actually more profitable. It gives us more points than if he doesn't, because he's that good of a shooter. Mark Jackson didn't want to have anything to do with that. He's like, no, we need low, high percentage, low risk shots. They fired him. They brought in Steve Kerr. 5 trips to the finals and 3 championships later, I think the data was right. Steph Curry is an above average shooter, and 3 points are more than 2.
The data is, so. the data is, and the data drives so much of our decision making today. And I would say for prospective students who are listening to this, the informatics degree is such a great degree and way to open doors to so many industries and so many different things as you go in your future. Bob, I thank you for joining us today. The thing that I will tell everyone who's listening to this, I get to see firsthand. Bob is an amazing professor and someone whose service every day makes all of us in the Idaho State University College of Business better. Bob, we thank you for joining us today. And more importantly, we thank you for everything you do every day for our students in college and university. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of the Bengal Business Radio Show. And on behalf of all of us in the Idaho State University College of Business, we want to wish everyone a very happy holiday season and terrific new year. 2020 had its challenges for sure, but we are optimistic about a great year ahead in 2021. Thank you all. Happy holidays and go Bengals.
The Bengal Business Radio Show examines a wide range of business topics across industries and highlights the impacts of our ISU College of Business faculty and alumni. Each episode features ISU College of Business alumni who is a senior executive at a leading organization, sharing their experiences, thoughts on current business, related events, and advice for business professionals and entrepreneurs. In addition, each episode features interviews with an ISU College of Business professor where they discuss their research, the impact it is having to solve current business problems, and innovative things they are working on in the classroom. The show is hosted by Dr. Shane Hunt, Dean of the ISU College of Business. Join us on the final Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. here on KISU-FM for Bengal Business.